I spent quite a bit of time on it. Well, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, this is inspired.
Well, all the Bible is.
Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And God of peace shall be with you. Well, now, Paul said that they'd learned them. They'd received them. They'd heard them. And they had seen them in him. Charlie, you think Paul really did all that? What do you think? Well, do you think Paul really did all that stuff? What do you think, Dan? Anybody here think he didn't do all that? Well, I think he did. How could he do all that and be the chief of sinners? You ever think about that? How could he do all that and be the chief of sinners? Well, it's pretty easy. I managed to do that stuff. And I'm the chief of sinners. I don't do it as well as Paul. But believe it or not, in rare times, I do that stuff. I study the Bible. I get in spiritual fellowship with God. Everything's just going great. You the chief of sinners too? Paul said that you just can't do that, can you? But now Paul, well, he didn't know I was coming either. As a matter of fact, the rest of these people here, they just covered up better than you and I do. Now the truth of the matter is that that's the way Paul was. You think Paul never lied? You think Paul never lusted? You think Paul never did any of those things? You say, no, sir. Well, then you better go to a Pentecostal church. Because Paul didn't live above sin. And he didn't always do what God wanted. You say, he always did what God wanted. No. Only Jesus did that. So what's the moral of this story? You can get saved, have rest, and you're going to heaven. But you're never going to have any peace with God until you do what he said. And the best thing you can hope for is some long periods where you are doing what God wants and you feel real good about yourself and everything's just going great and you just love it. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I'm going to church. I haven't had a bad thought at all in the last 10 minutes. I'm just and then all of a sudden, flop. Something happens. And you've sinned. With this, the mind of the flesh. And you kind of get down in the dumps and you say, I thought I was doing so good. Well, my friend, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be that way until you draw your last breath, because sin is an abomination to God. And all those thoughts that you have that aren't acceptable to God are sin. You say, well, what am I going to do? Well, that's pretty much up to you. You want peace with God? I want peace with God? I'm going to have to try to do those things. And as long as I'm doing those things, I'll have peace with God. But when I stop doing those things and stop trying to do those things, then the God of peace is not going to be with me. Oh, God will be with me. His Spirit will be with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me, but I won't have peace with God. You ever think about that? I mean, did you ever just take the Bible literally for what it says and say, okay, here's what Peter wrote. And you read the book of Peter. You say, there's a great man. And Jesus called him a little devil. He said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. There's not a day in your life that you don't have a sinful thought. If you're sitting there thinking, well, Brother Michael Murray, I don't think I had one today. You in terrible condition. You've learned to lie to yourself. truth means you tell God the truth about what you are. You come to realize what you are. And then you fight against what you are for the rest of your life. And when you finally get to heaven, by the grace of God, you're going to be judged for how good a fight you put up by following what Jesus said as His Spirit led you. And that's what this is all about. He said, these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. He said, you do them, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let me tell you a word that is often used in our work that means the same thing. It's called fellowship. Old Fred Vining used to talk about it all the time in seminary, Dr. Vining. He'd say, he called it fellowship. We're going to have a fellowship. He got to where he pronounced all the English words in the Greek vernacular, where they have different sounds that go with different consonants. And he would read things in English like he was sounding out the consonants in Greek, and he'd call it fellowship. And so it means fellowship. When would you really be unhappy? When you got out of fellowship with this church? Why? Because it's the body of Christ. Do you ever get out of fellowship with somebody in the church? You ever get your feelings hurt? You ever get irritated? You ever get mad at somebody in the church? You ever sit and listen to a message and walk out of here mad as a wet hen? While at other times you walked out and you were real complimentary and everything was just fine because you didn't get your toes stepped on. But when you get mad at somebody, no matter who it is in the church, no matter who it is in the body of Christ, you're going to get out of fellowship with God. And until you get over it and confess your sin, you're going to stay out of fellowship. You won't lose your salvation, but you sure will lose your peace with God. Paul said, now you don't want to lose your peace. He says, here's what you got to do. You can't do that, Jelly. You can't do that either, Danny. And neither can I. Not with 100% efficiency. But by cracky, we can try. We can jolly well try. And we can keep on trying. And we can get to where we do better at it. Will we ever completely overcome it? Will we ever lose our sin nature? Only when we stop breathing and the old carnal man dies dead as a doornail. So until that time, what are you going to do? Keep coming to church. Keep worshiping God. Keep doing what you're doing now. I'm proud of every one of you. I think God certainly is proud of us. We're sinners. We know it. But we keep on coming. We keep on trying. And we keep on praying for other people. One of the greatest sins is to look down your nose at other people who you think are worse sinners than you. There's no such thing as a worst sinner. We're all chief of sinners. And the only question is, are you willing to admit it to yourself? Until you are, you're going to look at somebody in church and say, well, now that's just awful. But you're capable of the very same thing. You say, no, I'm not. Why don't you just start telling the Lord you give tithes of all you possess, you fast twice in a week? Look, this sort of thing I'm telling you runs people off. It runs people off because they don't like it. And they want to look down their nose at everybody else and pass judgment on them. But they don't look back up their own nostrils into their own mind and see they're just as great a sinner as anybody else in this church. Good report. Now, these people had a good report. Who were they? Abraham? Was he a sinner? Read the Bible. Yes, he was. Isaac, was he a sinner? Yes. Jacob? Yes. David? Yes. Were all these people mentioned in that chapter sinners? Yes. Did they go to heaven? Yes. Did they have peace with God all the time? No. When did they have peace with God? When they were doing those things that you see there. And when they did those things, guess what it did? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When they were in fellowship with God and working and doing what God wanted, the Spirit of God in them produced fruit that the world saw. And it was a testimony. I think what I'm doing right now is what God wants me to do. Because I feel at ease inside. I feel like I'm telling you the truth. I don't feel that I'm inspired or that I'm preaching without error. But I think that I'm doing what I'm supposed to. You haven't seen me lose my temper. You haven't seen me throw into a rage. And so you can look at what I'm doing and you can say, now he's doing what God wants. And you can see that this man's got caught. You can see that God's leading him. You can see that he's doing what God wants. But how many times have you seen me lose my temper and lose my cool? I'm surprised you're not smiling at me. How many times have you seen me blow my cool? How many times have you seen me blow my cover? How many times have you seen the real me come out when things just didn't go exactly the way I wanted? And I just made a mule of myself. What you call a donkey? I made a donkey of myself. How much good did that do the kingdom of God? How much evidence did that present to people that I was a child of God? I hurt, I grieved God. And I didn't get any peace until I admitted it. Until I asked God to forgive me. Let God pick me up, and here I go again. You ever lose your temper in this church? You ever get mad? You agree with everything I preach? Are you mad now? Are you irritated right now? Is this bothering you? Do you think, well, it can't quite be that way? Well, maybe you're the one that needs this message a lot more than everybody else. Maybe most of you realize what you are. Maybe some of you don't and may never. When people look at your life, if you're doing those things, it's a testimony for God. And even though your flesh is sinful, and even though you're the chief of sinners, as you do those things, people get to see the side of you that's of God. And when you don't do those things, people get to see the side of you that isn't God. Is there anyone here? And this time I've never asked for a show of hands. I've always said, don't show you. I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Is there anyone here who in their life, everything they ever did as a member of this church was something that gave glory to God, and the world could see what a good Christian they were? If all of you, if there's anyone here that believes that, raise your hand. You say, well, are you trying to make us feel bad? No. But the Bible and what you're seeing on that screen is trying to make you realize that maybe you're not as good a two-shoes as you think you are. And maybe that a lot of your life doesn't give glory to God. When you go home and talk about other people in the church, when you go home and you're hypercritical, when you go home and you examine everything that everybody else is doing, when you go home and cut apart the messages that are preached or taught or anything that's said, or you look down upon the character of others in the church, does that give an evidence to God of faith or of your carnal nature? I usually cover that by saying, well, it's just an analysis. No, it's not an analysis. It's a judgment. And that's why I like you so much. I don't know what you say at home, but you sure don't say much down here. And I bet you never criticize these people in this church. I bet you don't. Maybe not. I'm sure there's some other boogers hiding under your veneer. But I appreciate people that just don't pass judgment on other people. You say, well, are you one of them? Oh, Lord, I wish I was. I'm getting better. But don't think I don't judge people. You say, well, how can you do that? Well, right there. When I'm not judging people, when I'm minding my own business, when I'm doing my job as God called me to do, I'm just as happy as a duck that sees a great big fat June bug. But when I don't, I'm just miserable. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. I bow before God, and I stand before man, and I mean no disrespect to those men in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. But they were sinners, and they knew it. And the reason they're mentioned there is because even though they were sinners, and even though they weren't always in fellowship with God, they kept on trying until the day they died to stay in fellowship with God and to do these things. And poor old Samson, who was always looked upon as being the naughty boy, in the end, he prayed and asked God for something that was needed to pass judgment on the Philistines. And God gave him the strength to push down a huge pillar that destroyed a large segment of the Philistine rulers and leaders. It's not so much how you start, and it's not so much how you do in between. It's important how you start. It's important what you do in between. But it's important how you finish up. Peter had followed the Lord for over 3.5 years. And I don't question his love for the Lord. The Lord never questioned it. But the Lord finally just got bold with Peter. And after Peter could bear it, he told them he was going to the cross. And Peter said, No, Lord, that shall not be so. And the Lord turned around and looked at Peter. Now here's a man, Peter, that's expressing concern for the Lord's physical life. He did love him. He said, "Get behind me, you little devil." He said, "When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." Well, Peter got converted. He got converted all of his life. And that's exactly what needs to happen to Eugene and to UK and to me, Tom. All of our lives is a conversion process, where more and more we learn to do these things and do less of the other things that cause us to be out of fellowship with God. But you can't do that until you know and understand what you are. That's a good report. I want you to notice how these men fared. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, cut up, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Poor little old me. I didn't have any air conditioning last 2 days. Oh, how horrible it was. How horrible. That's true. I haven't had any the last 2 days. Oh, it's awful. Oh, I'm being persecuted. Somebody in the church said something bad about me. Somebody said something unkind. Oh, they really hurt my feelings. Oh, I'm just being persecuted. You don't know what persecution is, and I don't know what persecution is. Now, here's the important thing about this. Every one of them was a sinner. Every single one of them. And so are every one of you, and so am I. In spite of that, this is what they did. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, their faith, even though they were sinners and they knew it, at times in their lives, and I'll have to say most of the time, they were doing what God wanted, and they still didn't receive the promise. They haven't got their glorified bodies. Enoch has, Elijah has, or at least a simile of it. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So let's get out of the summation and the nitty-gritty of everything I really wanted to say. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I'm chief of sinners. So are every one of you, whether you'll admit it or not. Now, what are we going to do about it? That's what we are. Well, what does God want us to do? Try to change? Become a non-sinner? No. But make the effort. How do you make the effort? You do those things that Paul indicated. You do those things that involve praising God, that involve virtue, that involve good report, that involve things that are lovely, things that are just, things that are honest, things that are true. You spend the rest of your life trying to do them, and every time you fail, you do the same thing these people did. You don't quit. You keep on trying to do what God wants until you draw your last breath. And when they walk by your casket, they'll say, first of all, oh, doesn't she look nice? They did a wonderful job on her. And then somebody over in the corner will say, she never looked that good in life. Well, that's what they do. I've heard them. I've been to lots of funerals. And they'll do me up, and they'll put the little, they'll comb my hair, and Imogene will look in there, and she'll say, oh, they didn't put that little thing in there. But when they walk by your coffin, and they look in there, they'll say, now, they knew you were a sinner. They knew that. Everybody did, except maybe the Pentecostals, and because you're Baptist, they knew you were a sinner. So they'll look, they'll say, well, I'll tell you one thing. She tried, and he tried. And back racking, you could see that they loved Jesus, and you could see they wanted to serve him. And that's the highest praise you can ever have. So it is now 2 minutes until break time. But, John, can you say a short prayer and get us out of here?